Hey y'all, good morning. We are so glad that y'all have come to worship and be together with us today. I am very thankful to be here. This is my favorite home, and I hope you've had a good week, and this is a time just to come in and worship and thank Him for everything that happened for you this week, good and the bad. All right, if y'all want to stand and worship with us.
Beginning.
talks about there's a peace that settles your soul, and I'm really great at creating a lot of chaos in my own mind, where I work myself right on into being upset and being depressed and worrying and fear, and it just consumes me. But I essentially allow it. Mike always tells me, baby, don't fall into that, you know, take control of that thought, don't follow it. It's just so hard because we know it's best, right? But you know, I've been going through this class with Ralph, and it's been helping me reevaluate my paths I follow and finding truth, and it's just been great. And one of them this week, it talked about that even though there's that chaos and the stuff that we go through is actually growth for us, and we've heard that 1,000 times, but it really does. If I stop and I look back and I see where that molded me, and that those decisions and those concerns are created by His peace and His joy and His guidance, and if I continue to rest in that, doesn't mean I pass every test, but there is that peace. And if I just make that decision to just steer towards Him and to steer towards that truth, even if I don't understand, even if I don't see the light at the end of the tunnel, but He is that light. Is this making sense? But anyway, it talks about there's a peace to settle your soul. And He's there, and He'll give it to you. You just gotta make that decision.
Come sin or saint, slave man. You're the Lord. God, for pursuing us. Thank you for calling us to you, for putting that desire in our hearts, God. And we wait for you today. We're desperate for you. We long for you. I desire you, God, to fill me up, fill this place with your presence. We love you.
That Justin and Kayla bring Kali down. We're going to dedicate her this morning. So those who are going to be part of that can be coming. My goodness, she's little. Scripture says that I can never escape your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me would become night. But even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. You made all my delicate parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous, how well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of the sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. Kaylee Grace, her name Kaylee, actually speaks of land. And grace is God's unmerited favor. And it's because of people like her that will be raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord that our land is going to be filled with grace, with God's unmerited favor. So, okay. I christen you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We lift you up to the Lord. We dedicate you, Kaylee Grace, that all your days of your life will be filled with God's unmerited favor, and you'll find yourself always in a land of promise and a land of goodness. And we commit you to your God and your Father in the name of Jesus Christ, his Son. Amen. I was in praise and worship, Justin. Lord just spoke to me about you and that there's a spiritual awakening that's happening in your life. And you've been raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And there's some good things inside you that God just wants to really birth forth and bring forth. And you're going to be a blessing to a lot of people. God bless you. All right, I want to do away with a rumor. It was on Facebook this week, and I have to correct this rumor. And the rumor was that I got all of my philosophy about life from Garth Brooks. I just want you to know, Garth Brooks got his philosophy of life because of people like me and people like you. So don't forget that. Happened to be at a Garth concert last night, so I'm ready to go. I had a special moment. I usually cry when he comes out, but I was determined last night I wasn't going to shed a tear because my son-in-law was next to me, and I didn't want to see him see me cry. So I didn't, but I did cry because about midway toward the end of the concert, he was singing the dance, and my granddaughter, Anna, was standing next to me, and while he was singing the dance, she just lifted up her hands and just started worshiping the Lord and just was doing, I thought, wow, wow. She's unashamed of her Lord, and she just was worshiping God. You can praise God anywhere. Amen? No matter where you are, wherever you are, you can worship God because God is everywhere. He's everywhere. And so we're going to talk about something this morning that I've talked about a lot over the years, but I don't know, it's been a long time since I just wanted to focus on the body of Christ in a way that how much we need each other. There's a scripture in Philippians chapter 4, and it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, I want to say that in a little different light, but I want you to get it. I can do all things through the Christ that's in the body that strengthens me. Because I need you and you need me. We need each other. And all the scripture talks about over and over again how much we need each other. So the Bible says that we are army. For an army, we need a leader. He says that we are family. If we're a family, we need a father. He says we're sheep. If we're sheep, we need a shepherd. But he says we're a body, too. And if we're a body, we need the head. And I talked about last week how important the head is because the head is where my ears are. That's where I hear. My eyes see. My mouth speaks. And what Christ wants in me, he wants me to hear what he hears. See what he sees and speak what he speaks. Because only when I'm doing that is the earth really going to be filled with the glory of God and with the favor of God and with the blessings of God. Amen? It's only when, and they just put this little phrase of God's wrote song on you, people, loving people is the enemy of all that's evil. Okay, let's get it. Sing it over here. People, loving people is the enemy of all that's evil. Ain't that good? All right. Listen to this. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 7. Observe yet another example of something meaningless under the sun. This is a case of a man who is all alone, without a child or a brother, yet who works hard to gain as much wealth as he can, but then he asks himself, who am I working for? Why am I giving up so much pleasure now? It is all so meaningless and depressing. And what that context is saying, when you're all alone, it's meaningless. It's meaningless. The Bible says when God created Adam, he said, everything God created, he said, it's good. He said, the earth is good, the plants are good, the animal kingdom is good, man is good. But then he said, but it's not good that man should be alone. So he made him a helpmeet. He made the woman to come alongside of man to complete him. And you see, and from there throughout Scripture, it talks about a people. It talks about how God wanted a family, how God chose a man named Abraham. And through Abraham, he said, I'm going to bless all the nations of the earth. I'm going to bless all the families of the earth. Because God is all about family. It's all about people. It really is. He said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And he gave him so that we could be brought into this union with Christ and be joined together. He said, two people are better off than one. For they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated. But two, now listen to this, can stand back to back and conquer. You ever heard the saying, I got your back? I got your back? There's nothing like somebody having your back. Believe me, there's not anything in this world like somebody having your back. And the people that will have your back are the people who are joined to God and we're joined together in one heart and one family, and we need to have each other's back. You should never, ever allow anyone to say anything about your brother or your sister in Christ. You should never, ever listen to anything other than what's uplifting and upbuilding about anybody. And if we hear anything other than that, we should be the first one to go, whoa, whoa, that's not true. I remember years ago, and my friend Ralph was in a situation, and he was with a brother. And the brother began to just drag me down, just beat me down. And Ralph said, hey, just want you to know, I can't let you do that. I can't sit here and listen to this any longer. He's my brother. We are to have each other's back. Man, if I didn't say anything else this morning, if you could just walk, look at somebody close to you and say, I got your back. I got your back. There are three, or even better, for triple braided cord is not easily broken. God chose the church. God chose the body of Christ to show forth everything that He wanted to show to the world. In Ephesians chapter 3, beginning at verse 8, though I am the least deserving of all God's people, He graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. The endless treasures available to them in Christ. Now, what we want to get to this morning is, what are the endless treasures? Because there's a lot of things in life that people treasure. Some people treasure money. Some people treasure cars. Some people treasure houses or lands. But there's a greater treasure than any of that on the face of the earth. And the greatest treasure you'll ever comprehend and you'll ever apprehend is the treasure of love. If there's one thing that breaks the heart of God over and over again, is to look at His creation and see hate, and see murder, to see people hating one another, because they're all His kids. They're all His kids, and He didn't want to see them hating each other. He didn't want to see them biting and devouring one another. You know, I only had one kid, one child. I got three grandchildren. And boy, it just grieves me if I ever see John Henry and Anna having a quarrel. It grieves me when I see them at war with each other. As it just grieves your heart. And it grieves the heart of God when He sees the people who are at war with each other. He says, you know, that's not what it's all about. He says, God's purpose in all of this was to use the church to display His wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in heavenly places. This was His eternal plan, which He carried out through Jesus Christ our Lord. Because of Christ and our faith in Him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. So please don't lose heart because of my trials here. I'm suffering for you So you should feel honored. When I read that scripture this week, my heart just leaped because the Apostle Paul never saw himself as a prisoner of Rome or as a prisoner of society. He always saw himself as a prisoner of the Lord. And he, in prison, he's saying to the church, he's saying to the church of Ephesus, it's for you that I'm suffering. It's so that you can get this grace and you can get this endless treasure. It's for you I'm doing this. But he could have been murmuring. He could have been complaining. He could have been getting angry. He could have been getting angry at God. Hello. He's in prison because of what he believes about God. He's in prison because of what he believes about Christ. And yet he never complains about that. He never blamed anybody for it. As a matter of fact, one time in prison, it says at midnight he was praising God. You know, sometimes we read those stories and I wonder, are we really listening? Can I at midnight in my deepest, darkest hour lift up my hands to the Lord, lift up my voice to the Lord, and praise the God of creation regardless of what's going on in my life? Can I do that? And the Bible says at midnight, Paul and Silas were worshiping and praising God. When I think of all this, Paul said, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he would empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts. As you trust in him, your roots grow down into God's love, and it keeps you strong. Not what I know, not what I believe, not what's going on in my life. What makes me strong is love. There's not anything other than that that will make me strong. Wow. Nothing will make you more spiritual than love. My strength is in love. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is his love. How wide is it? All the way across the earth. It extends from the north to the south and from the east and to the west. If you will, it's all inclusive. No one's left out. That's how wide his love is. And he says, I want you to know that love. I want your love to be so wide that it leaves no one out. I want you to know how deep is this love. How deep, how low will you go? How low will you go? How far down will you reach? I want you to know the length of this. How far will you go? You know that somebody really loves you? Is they'll go the length with you. They'll go as far as it takes. Go as far as it takes. See, my wife's got that kind of love. She's been with me 42 years this December. She's gone the length. How long? How wide? How deep? How high? You know what the most difficult length of a part of this is? I don't have a hard time with this. I don't have a hard time with this. I don't even have a hard time with the length. But the height is all those who are above me, more blessed than me, richer than me, stronger than me, more powerful, can I love them too? Wow. May you experience this love of Christ. Though it's too great to understand fully, then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. We didn't talk. He said, this love will strengthen you. This love will empower you. This love, then you will know what the real power of God is. It's when you love. Now, all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. How is this mighty power going to work? How is this mighty power going to work? Through the love of Christ that's in the body of Christ. So where's the power from? Love. I want us to just think about that for a moment. Where's the power? It's in love. Everything I need, everything that's needed in the world is through love. There's nothing more powerful on the planet than love. You know, I was almost tempted not to read this scripture. I think it's been read so many times. You go to a wedding, it's read. It's on refrigerators. It's in frames. It's in needlework. Passages of scripture that Paul threw in the middle of something. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he talked about the body of Christ and how needful the body of Christ was. He talked about how there were gifts given to different people. Some had the gift of miracles. Some had the gift of speaking in tongues. Some had the gift of healing. Some had the gift of knowledge. And some had the gift of wisdom. And he goes through all these marvelous gifts and talks about how much we need one another. And then he says, if I speak all the languages of the earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had faith, it could move mountains, but didn't love others, I'm nothing. If I give everything I have to the poor and even sacrifice my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained what? For love is patient, kind. It's not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. Boy, if we could just give up our need to be right, right? If I could just give up my need to be right. Yeah. I tell you what, you can have so much peace in your home if you'll give up your need to be right. Has anyone ever had an argument over whether you or them were right? I just got to be right. I mean, I've been with guys talking about football And we got to have our need to be right. No, let me tell you what happened. No, let me tell you what happened. And I mean, guys, we get in arguments about all of that. We gotta be right about everything. We have the right. We know the answer. That's one thing I love. Barbara just kind of got into football the last couple of years. And I love it because she don't know anything about it. And so I get to be right all the time. All the time. She'll say something. I said, no, darling, that's not what happened. This is what's going on. Boy, it just feels so good. I got it. For once, I'm 100% right. I know it all. It's not irritable. It keeps no record of being wrong. I know I've said this a lot, but I've got to say it. You know, I love how my daddy used to say it. It says, when God forgave us, he took our sins and he cast them into the deepest part of the sea and he put up a no fishing sign. Don't bring them back up. Forgiveness is not forgetting. You have a brain in your head, whether you know that or not. And how many people told you you're brainless? You're not. You have the most powerful computer in your skull on the face of the earth. There is no computer that has more memory than your brain. And why I know that? Because some of you remember every single thing that ever happened to you bad. And we fail to remember all the good things that happen to us. And so it's not forgetting, it's choosing not to remember. Don't talk about it. Don't bring it up. Don't bring it up. The worst I ever hurt my wife, she has never one time ever brought it up. Never brought it up. Why? Because she forgot it? No. She chooses not to remember it. It doesn't rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Prophecy, speaking in unknown languages, and special knowledge will become useless. You know, I think I got a pretty important job. I don't know what you think about it, but I think I got a pretty important job. I get to prophesy. I get to foretell the will of God. I get to preach and teach the mysteries of God. Do you know what he said? All that become useless. But love lasts forever. Now our knowledge is partial. It's incomplete. And even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture. Now watch, I want you to get it. It's partial. But when full understanding comes, these partial things will become useless. What is that full understanding? It's the full comprehension of God's love. That's what he's talking about. It's the full comprehension of God's love. What is the height? What's the width? What's the depth? What's the length? When I was a child, I spoke and I thought and I reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. Why? Grow up in what? just say love, church. That's all we're talking about this morning. It's just, when I grow up in love, I forgot how old I was. I'm 63 years old. I still act like a child in certain things. That's not what he's talking about. I still was an idiot last night. I still just had a blast, enjoyed life. But what he's saying, the childish things I put away was my not willing to share. My not willing to love. My not willing to help other people. What I put away was how childish I acted when I got hurt. That I want to hit back. I put away all that and I grew up. And realize it's not all about me. It's not about me. I'm the three grandkids. They all getting come to the piano. They all growing, you know, and they're different stages. And Jet's four. It's all about him. It ain't about nobody else. Jet doesn't even know you exist. He doesn't have a clue about you, because it's all about him. All about him. All about him. Anna, she's a little beyond that. She knows it's not all about her. It's a lot about her. But it's not all about her. She said something the other week about somebody gave her a nickname. She said, "That's not my nickname." And she said, what's your nickname going to be? She says, "I want my name to be Little Gaga or Mini Gaga." Yeah, y'all can, oh, come on. Because you know what? She sees something. She sees something about Big Gaga that she wants to be a Mini Gaga. Because she's growing. John Henry, one of the most loving 12-year-old boys you'll ever see in your life. Because he's growing in love. Three things will last forever. Wow. Only three. He just said everything else is going to be done away with. Three things is going to last forever. Faith. Seeing what's invisible. Yeah. Faith is not about what I see in the natural. It's about what I see in the spiritual. Faith is seeing the invisible. I love this. So I can see the bad or I can see the good. That's my choice. Faith. Hope. It's going to last forever. What is hope? Expectation of something good. Amen? My buddy Mike, he takes this right. He's gone through a lot, a whole lot. I mean, house caught on fire the other week, and I mean, it's been one thing after another, this dude. And so I started calling him Lucky Mike. And he knows I'm kidding with him, but we decided, though, a couple of months ago, you know, we're going to make that for real. It's going to work out good. That's how we're going to look at it. It's the expectation of something good. What you going to expect? When I get up in the morning, I got to expect a good day. That's what I'm hoping. I'm expecting good. Faith is seeing what you can't see. Hope, expecting something good. But here's the finality. Love. And it says the greatest of these is love. And here is my personal definition of love. Of all that said, that he said about it, my personal, I adopted this belief. It's a mantra of mine. It's what keeps me going. I overlook the very worst. I overlook it. I overlook your behavior. I overlook this or that. Whatever, I overlook the worst. And I go back to expect the best and believe the best. It's your choice. And so you're here today, and I'm here today, to be reminded. It's not how many scriptures I can quote and how much mysteries and knowledge I know this book. Because it's futile if I don't love. It means absolute nothing. Because my whole life is built around that foundation of love. Lord, what's the greatest commandment of all? Jesus looks at him. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Hang all the laws, the prophets, these two. On these two. You'll see, if you love those, if you keep those two, you'll keep them all. See, there's 10 commandments. I know a lot of people think there's about 1,000. There's only 10. I just got to keep it simple in my life, right? There's only 10. 10 biggies. 10 sins. 10. And the first four talk about your relationship to God. So if you love God with all your heart and with all your mind, your soul, your strength, guess what? You'll keep the first four. They're just natural. Let me know that you do what you love. And so he says, if you love God with all your heart, you'll keep the first four. You'll have no other gods before. You won't take his name in vain. You'll keep all those four. And if you love your neighbor as you love yourself, you'll keep the other six. Wow. Pretty simple. Now do you see why the enemy of our soul, all he really wants to do is to get love out and put hate in. I want you to stand, and I want you to bow your head for a moment. You're here this morning, and you know that there's one of the greatest transformations I ever saw in a man was a good friend of mine. Has gone on to be with the Lord now. His name was Billy Shara. And Billy's watching a TV program And this preacher that just said this, he said, you can't love your wife, you can't love your children, you can't even love yourself till you love God. Billy that night gave his heart to Christ. Bobby O'Neill, who's gone to be with the Lord, told me, I don't know how Bobby found out, but Bobby found out and said, Billy Shire got saved, gave his heart to Christ. And I knew Billy. I grew up in the same neighborhood, friends with his brother. So I gave Billy a call, and I said, Billy, I heard you gave your heart to Christ. And he said, he kind of hesitated, and I thought, oh, he didn't do it. He said, yeah, I did. He said, how'd you know? I said, well, Bobby O'Neill told me you gave your heart to Christ, and I want to invite you to church. Billy came. He was one of the most committed members of Eagles Way that ever was, who just really loved God and just really loved people. And it all started because this preacher on TV said, you can't love your wife, you can't love your kids, you can't even love yourself till you love God first. Love made all the difference in the world in Billy. He went from, he went from here to here by love. And he lived out his rest of days on earth preaching the gospel, because a message of love was imparted to his heart. And it changed him forever. And now, he's in the presence of God. I'll give you one more little Garth story. As I was waiting in anticipation last night and watched that crowd just go crazy when he came out, I had the thought, wow, what's it going to be like when we see him? Whew. What's it going to be like when we see him face to face? What's it going to be like when he comes out? Oh, man. If you're here and you want to make a turnaround in your life, you want to have a new beginning. It's called love. Would you just lift up your hand right where you are? I want a new beginning in my life. It's called love. God bless you. I see that hand. Yep. I see your hands. God bless you. God bless you. It's a new beginning today. It's a new beginning today in your heart and your life. It's all in Christ, and you've done that today. You've accepted him. You've committed to him. And that's what this couple just did back here. You just committed it to the Lord, and now your life will never, ever, ever be the same. It's all about love now. See, nobody just shows up. God's got, he loves you so much. He just guides you. This couple that lifted their hand that came in, I did a funeral several months ago, and he came up to me after the service, after the funeral, and he said, we're going to come to your church. And I said, good. And it's been, so when he walked in today, I walked up and said, I've been expecting you. But you know what? It was God. It's a God thing. It's a God. All these things of God. God just working in people's lives. When by accident you showed up today to hear. You know, I was so tired this morning. If I wasn't the pastor, I wouldn't be here. I had to tell myself, son, you gotta go. And I just said, Lord, you gotta give me energy. You know what? He did. He did. It's all about love. I wasn't real excited about this message. I appreciate it, Ralph. But that's what it's about. You may be seated. Ask the ushers to come, receive our tithes and offerings. And Will's going to come make some announcements. We're climbing out of a hole. We had a real bad summer financially, and we're really climbing out of a hole. We've been kind of fluctuating between $10,000 and $15,000 under budget. We're around 10 right now, so we're climbing out. But just to ask you to remember that, and as you give, and hopefully in the next month, all of that will be caught up with. But thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you as people like you that's going to fill this earth, fill this land with God's love and God's grace. Amen.
Amen. As they're coming down, I want to continue to thank you. Actually, I'm going to take just a second. Donnie, where are you at? Will you stand up for a second? Howard, you in here? Will you stand up? My core of the ladies' ministry, Mom and Linda, and I don't know who all is involved in the core, Judy, I believe. All of that ladies' ministry that's kind of involved in the Doc Holliday stuff. We all stand up? We've had 9 months of preparing and working towards a project that's fixing to take place. Howard and I are both like, we cannot wait until Sunday. I want to encourage you that because you're a member here at Eagles Way Church, you've been involved in touching our community over the last 9 months. And this festival, however it takes place, looks like we've got around 20 or plus professional cookers coming in. We've got activities. There's free hay rides and there's paid activities. There's 50 to 75 vendors that are going to be on the streets on Solomon Street on Saturday. There's music festival that's going on. But we also need some volunteers for that day. We need some help to make it happen. We being Eagles Way, is running a concession stand on Friday evening. Need help with that. On Saturday, the ladies' ministry is taking on the barbecue People's Choice Awards, and so they're going to be chopping barbecue and that type of thing and distributing that and selling that. We need help with that. We have y'all see the Porsche smoker I told you about? It's in the foyer. It's not one you normally would have at your house. It's about a tooth that we need. So I need people selling raffle tickets, those type of things. How is this helping Eagles Way Church? Well, there is a fundraiser. The People's Choice part of it is a fundraiser for Eagles Way. So there's funds that can be made. But we are giving to our community. We're giving to them being the other entities that are involved, and we're not asking for anything in return. We're not returned. We're not really trying to put our name out there and do all of that stuff. But it's making a difference, and it's growing. We hope next year it'll be even bigger. Brian, you need to stand up, dude. I know you. Stand up for a second. This guy has, not Brian too, but Brian Miller here has put a lot of effort and work into a lot of the graphics and different things. Sure, it's what he's good at. But that's not what he's here paid for. He loves on our young people, serves them. But it's everybody giving their little bit that makes a difference. So I encourage you, if you've got a little bit of time, I take 2 hours on Friday or on Saturday, a couple hours. We'll work a routine. If you can't be there the whole time, no problem. Making a difference. David Kilchrist, he has opened his restaurant to 150 people for breakfast. How many have ever had Sixth Street breakfast before? They don't do it. He's gone above and beyond doing some things to help this community, to help Eagle's way do what we've committed to do. So thank you, thank you, thank you for all of that. You can be seated. Don't want to overshadow all of that. Also, I mean, that's a big thing that's taking place. But we also have new Connect groups that will be starting back up next Wednesday, October 1st. There will be a class that will be taking place here in the sanctuary. And the name has just escaped me. It's Judge Not is the name of that. So if you have an issue or even consider judging folks at times and don't want to, come learn how not to. And Pastor Ralph will be helping with that. Pastor Dusty and Pastor Buren will be leading that one. There is a parenting class if you're interested in seeing if there's additional tools and weapons you can put in your arsenal on how to parent the very best that you can parent. I'm careful about that weapons word, but you know what I'm talking about, the quiver and the arrow thing. So that class will be taking place if you want to do that. And then David and Mike T. Mike T, back there, stand up. David, where you at, David? On stage yet? Band can go ahead and be coming to the stage. They are going to be leading a small group, so if you're interested in being involved in a small group, I want you to do that. Children's activities will still be going on Wednesdays, and Wednesday and the youth up in the youth building on Wednesday. So let's pray and bless this offering, and then you can stand, and the band's going to lead us on one last song. Father God, Lord, we thank you that we can come to your house. We can worship you, such sweet worship. Lord, that we can love you. Lord, we can be reminded of the importance of our love for you and to share to others. Thank you for this offering. Bless it. In Jesus' name.
All stand with us.
say.